Hello everyone, welcome back to the Japan Archives episode question mark. How are you doing, Heather?
I forgot to check
the number before I pressed record, and I can't be bothered. It's very late for us right now.
I'm with you. I was like, should we have looked at it? No, I will remember. No, it's late for us. We are here. We're doing the things. Apologies for being late. That's on my side. We are going through sleep transitions right now. Sleep transitioned included going to sleep much earlier than she anticipated. But doing good tonight. How about you, Thomas?
I mean, I'm pretty good. All the projects are going well still. New subscribers on YouTube. 1,400 pages on the website now for people to read. I'm in my new office, I guess. Oh. So it'll be interesting to see how the new sound, it's the same sound, how the sound is compared to the old setup I had. I'm hoping it sounds better. You said it sounds better on your end, so we'll see. This is where I listen back and edit, and I'm like, where's all this background noise coming from? But, you know, this is a much better space for me to work in. So if there is some background noise or something, I'll figure out how to improve and get rid of it. Like, there are ways to do it. So I was initially going to do, well, I told you what I was going to do, but I want to do a little bit more research. I'm not going to say what it is. You'll find out next episode for sure. I will definitely do it. But it's something that was in the news recently, and my mom actually reminded me about it because she sent me the specific news article that reminded me about this topic that I once heard about. I actually heard about it before COVID and then completely forgot about it for a long time.
That makes sense.
So for now, I have found a tale regarding the life of a member of the Fujiwara clan. I think we've talked about several Fujiwaras throughout. We had the guy who didn't write the sutras nicely. He was a Fujiwara. Yes. And we have talked about them on and off now and then. I mean, they were very important and central, I guess, to Japanese history for 600 years or so, pretty much being in control of who was on the throne, which was quite interesting. So they also need an episode for themselves one day. But for now, this tale about Fujiwara no Tamemori comes from the Konjaku Monogatari Shu, which is, in English, the Anthology of Tales from the Past. So this is quite a big document. There's like over 1,000 stories in this document from the late Heian period. We're in the Heian period again. The entire collection was originally in 31 volumes. We only have 28 of them today, unfortunately. And they're not just tales about Japan from this time. They also cover stories from India and China.
Oh.
It's an anonymous collection of tales. There are theories about different people who could have wrote it, but there's no consensus, unfortunately. But the only thing we do know that it, based on events written in these tales, it was definitely, you know, it's definitely dating to somewhere around the early half of the 12th century, and definitely after 1120, again, like I said, because of certain events mentioned in tales in the book. So this tale comes from the 28th volume, and it's the fifth tale in the book. So if you're ready, I shall read the tale.
I'm really interested. Please go.
Okay. Me too, because I'm taking a risk and I picked at random from this book.
Oh, okay. So we're both
I just saw the name Fujiwara because I made it my goal this month to finish up all this research I've been doing about Fujiwara members for the website. So as soon as I saw his name, I was like, well, now I have to read it. Because if I'm finishing off the information about this clan, I have to read this story and put it on the website now. So let's see. According to my research, every story actually starts in these documents with Mukashi Mukashi, so long, long ago. So long, long ago, while governor of Echizen, Echizen being in the northwest part of Japan on the coast. So while governor of Echizen, though he actually lived in Kyoto, Fujiwara no Tamemori failed to contribute his share of the rice stipend due to the palace guard. The six contingents of the guards responded by rising up as one man and marching towards his residence, where they lined up shoulder to shoulder, seated on camp stools, under awnings they had thoughtfully brought with them. They had his house blockaded and refused to let anyone in or out. It was the sixth moon and the days were long and very hot. The guards had been there since early morning, and by midday they were roasting. But they managed to hang on by reminding themselves that they could not leave without satisfaction. Then the gate opened a crack and a senior retainer stuck his head out. "His Excellency the Governor has asked me to speak to you," the retainer announced. "He says he would like to meet with you all immediately. But unfortunately, that is impossible because your presence has terribly frightened all the women and the children." He does realize, though, that in this heat you must all be very thirsty, and he thinks he might discuss things with you inside, through a screen, as long as you don't mind coming in small parties. He suggests we give you some refreshments. We might first have the left and right inner guards if you have no objection. The other contingents can follow later. His Excellency knows he ought to have you all come in at once, but unhappily his residence is too small and poor to allow for such a thing. So please be patient, the rest of you. Will the inner guards now be good enough to come in? Fujiwara no Tamemori will receive you." The guards certainly were thirsty, and the thought of getting not only a drink but a chance to say their piece pleased them very much. "How kind of him," they replied. "We'll be happy to go in and explain to him why we're here." "Fine," said the retainer and opened the gate. The men of the left and right inner guards quickly gathered before it. Long mats had been laid out in the gallery north of the middle gate, and on them stood several dozen individual tables arranged facing each other in two rows. The tables were piled high with slices of sea bream, dried and well salted, slices of very salty-looking salt salmon, salted horse mackerel, and sea bream pickled in miso. For fruit, there were 10 great lacquered bowls heaped with nicely ripened purple plums. "This way, please," cried the retainer. "Just the inner guards now, if you don't mind." In they trooped. Kanetoki from Owari province and Atsuyuki from Shimosa province came first, followed by all the oldest and most senior officers. The other contingents will all have their turn, called the retainer, to those left outside, then locked the gate behind him and kept the key. The retainer pressed the guards politely to step up into the gallery and take their seats, which they did. When they were all in place, in twin rows, the retainer called for wine. In fact, though, the wine was slow to appear, and in the meantime, the hungry guards quickly picked up their chopsticks and helped themselves to the food. "What can have happened to the wine?" the retainer kept muttering, but still it did not come. At last it was announced that although the governor did not so much want to meet with the guards, he was just now suffering from a bout of some stomach ailment and could not be with them quite yet. He would be out when they had finished their refreshment. Finally the wine then came. Two young men brought in a pair of big cups on trays and set them down before Kanetoki and Atsuyuki, who were opposite each other. With generous ladles, they then filled the cups full, and the two men picked them up and drank greedily till wine dribbled down their chins. The wine was a bit cloudy and sour, but having broiled so long in the sun, the men had a powerful thirst, and they kept pouring it down. In fact, their cups had to be refilled twice before they would pass them to the next person in line. Turn by turn, the men all drank their fill, parched as they were, and some drank as many as 5 cups. Next, they had the plums. Soon the wine was back again and kept coming around, until everyone had wet his whistle 6 times. Only now did the governor emerge and seat himself on the other side of the blinds, which screened the gallery from the interior of the house. "Gentlemen," he began, I never imagined that any failure of generosity on my part would set you against me this way and hold me up to shame before all the world. There's been a drought in my province ever since last year, you see, and we've taken in nothing, nothing at all. At least the tiny amount we did harvest was claimed quite persuasively by their excellencies at court. They took everything, I'm afraid. There's not a grain left. My own household is out of food, and the serving girls are going hungry. Well, I suppose I deserve it. But, gentlemen, please understand that I can't offer you a single miserable potful of rice. It's this awful karma of mine that kept me for years from any official appointment, and that now has gotten me a hopeless province so poor that it yields me nothing but embarrassment. I certainly don't blame you for anything, I assure you. No, I'm only getting what was coming to me, the governor sobbed aloud. Kanetoki and Atsuyuki reassured him that they quite understood his predicament, but they reminded him too that they did not represent only themselves. We have nothing at the guards' headquarters either, they went on, and the men are very unhappy. That's why we're all here. The problem also affects us. Naturally, we feel for you, sir, and we're sorry to pressure you like this. But at the same time, we certainly wouldn't have come if we hadn't felt that we had a very good reason. Their stomachs rumbled shamelessly as they spoke, which was particularly embarrassing since they were so close to the governor. For a time, some tried to cover the squawks and gurgles by tapping their formal batons against the table, while others tried different dodges to distract attention from their problem. But the governor behind his blind could hear the bowels were in loud rebellion all down the line and could see perfectly well that the men were doubling up with cramps. "Excuse me a moment," exclaimed Kanetoki as he bolted out. Everyone else leapt up and pelted helter-skelter after him. Some cut loose right on the edge of the gallery, even as they were jumping off. Some made it to the carriage house and burst before they got their trousers off. Others got their trousers off and squirted like nozzles. Then there were those who did not even look for a place to hide. Ah, the story is going where I thought it was going to go.
This is
them.
Oh,
then there were those that did not even look for a place to hide, but chat, oblivious to all else, wherever they happened to be. All the while, they were laughing their heads off. I knew the old boy would pull something, they chortled. No, no, we've got no complaint. It's our own fault. We were too greedy for that wine. And laughing still, bellyache and all, they chat all in chorus. Ah, oh, I'm so glad I picked this story. Meanwhile, the retainer opened the gate again. Very well, he announced. You gentlemen may leave. Could we have the next contingent, please? Oh yes, the men chuckled as they left. By all means, get them in here and treat them to a good old shit the way you did to us. They were wiping at their filthy trousers as they emerged. The men of the other four contingents burst into laughter at the sight and fled. It had gone exactly as the Lord had planned. The day was good and hot. He would let them stew for hours under their awnings, then bring them in parched, stuff their empty stomachs with salt fish and plums, and wash it all down for them with plenty of sour, cloudy wine. Wine liberally fortified with that trusty medicine for innards in need of encouragement. Oh yes, those rascals would shit all day. Actually, Lord Tamemori was a cagey old scamp and a whiz at making people laugh. This was just his sort of thing. The whole court enjoyed the incident hugely. Those guards had pickled a slippery fellow to tangle with. Perhaps the guards learned their lesson too, because they never again descended on the provincial governor, who failed to make his contribution. Tamemori was very clever to catch them out the way he did. He could not have gotten rid of them by force. I thought I knew where it was going at one point because I started to see you smirking. I was like, oh no, is this really going to happen? And then that is where the story went.
As you were going into the story, I'm like, you know, there was a different thing I should have chosen that could have gone with this, but I don't think I'm going to. Well then, thank you for that story.
I thank you for your thanks.
Thanks. What was really funny too is I started writing diligent notes to talk about.
Yeah, I saw you like writing furiously for ideas and then the nonsense at the end happened and you were just...
It's like, it's gone.
In utter disbelief. Like, oh my, okay, we're falling off the bridge here. I mean, it was interesting. I've never come... I don't know how to say. I think this is the first tale we've come across that's actually humorous.
Yes. It is. You're right. This is straight up comedy. I don't know how... I'm not sure what words. What words?
Well, what notes did you write down then?
Okay, let's go with that. Let me go find my place in the book. I just shut the... Yeah, because we have a mention of rice tax, which we've talked about before on the show. And then the moon, we had... Oh, goodness. We had wasn't it a sinew that had about the number of the moons and where you were in the cycle of the month, because we had six moons. So I think the other person was it third moon or something that translated into full moon. So I'm like, what is six moon? We need to figure out what the six moon means. Mention of the row arrangements, which if you've seen either some dramas or something where they're celebrating something, the two rows where you have the two rows facing each other, like you can still like see that in some celebrations now where they have the trays and the rows. And I've seen that, I think, on some anime and some dramas and things like that. And then the last thing I mentioned, I was going to ask, or not ask, but the last thing I was going to talk about was the, during hot weather here, salty foods is quite common, like umeboshi. Like in the summer, if you get hot.
True, and you feel,
yeah, like, because at first I was kind of wondering if we were going to go somewhere else where they were giving all kinds of salted foods and then no wine, but then it went somewhere else instead because they eventually did get wine. So it was still a strategy, but also eating salted foods.
I do like umeboshi.
Oh, it's
really good.
Mm-hmm. Even like the salty drinks like salty lychee and then Aquarius or Pocari Sweat have... high amounts of salt in them to kind of help keep you when you're super hot to help keep you, you know, from getting too dehydrated. What's your preferred summer drink when it's hot?
Just I mean, not salted fish mixed with cloudy wine and laxatives. I get from the vending machines the match vitamin drink. It's a very good taste. I really like that one. Gives you a bit of energy for the day. Very refreshing as well. I don't know what the flavor is, though. It's not quite lemon, but it's not lemon. What's your go-to?
It's either going to be salty lychee or dakara.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of those.
Oh.
Like, I like lychee, but I don't like salty lychee.
Yeah, that one, I think I started drinking that one. A teacher told me about it. And I went, okay, I'll give it a try. Because at first, like, yeah, the salty was in the title was kind of off-putting. But I enjoy that one.
Mm.
But do you like Pocari Sweat?
I used to, but I don't really anymore. It's quite a strange taste.
It kind of do. You're not? Yeah, I'm with you. It's at first it was, oh, this is, it's not that. Although if you're thirsty in the summer, it's. Take it, drink it, but
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's kind of where I stopped.
And then the notes taking stopped because it got weird. I mean, I like I said, I like the story because it's the first humorous tale we've had, and it genuinely made us laugh. And it's such an it doesn't feel like a Japanese story because I don't associate Japan with writing stories about making people poop themselves. This is a piece of classical literature. So I'm glad that this kind of story does exist, actually.
There are lots of themes common throughout human history, and we are proving that this is definitely one of them.
Because I thought it was going to be a story about he does something like wicked to them for going against him or rising up against him. But he was like, no, I can't win against these people. I'm going to fill them full of laxatives and hope they find it funny. I mean, the fact that they were laughing as it was happening to them. It's like, oh, get a load of this guy making me soil myself. What a great laugh. What a great day.
I mean, they also did mention that they had been too greedy as well. So, we kind of got ourselves a little bit into this too.
Too greedy because he intentionally made them wait in the sun.
Oh, next time, wait for the wine. Wait for the wine. Don't eat the salty fish.
So that was my tale for today. Over to Heather's corner.
I want to search out what other kind of humorous classical Japanese stories we can find. Now I'm interested. Yeah. I would assume maybe something different, but we'll see. Yeah, so over to the corner today. Ironically, I have something historical.
Oh, okay.
But it's a sinew, but it has history with it. I'm quite excited about this one. So when you're ready, I will read the sinew today.
I am ready.
Nururi cha de dandan atsuki otorinashi.
It's about not having something.
I know you know one of these. You've got cha.
Tea.
Uh-huh. And dandan.
Walking.
Gradually. Gradually. Dandan.
Oh, gradually.
And atsuki, which is related to what we were just talking about being
hot.
Yes.
So the tea gradually gets hot, doesn't get hot.
Oh, you got it. The gradually gets hot. So the translation I got, with lukewarm tea, gradually promoted warmly.
Gradually promoted warmly. Oh, interesting.
So okay. There's a story behind this. This one is based on a person's life named Hideyoshi Toyotomi, and was 1953. Oh my goodness. 1536 to 1598. And he went hunting. He was very thirsty, so went into a temple and asked for some tea. And a young boy brought it, and Hideyoshi drank it and just one swallow, gone. And then asked for another one, and the boy brought it, a little warmer than the one he just drank. Did the same thing, drank it really quickly, asked for another, and this time it was hot. And so he was drinking it with some enjoyment and some happiness. And Hideyoshi admired the boy for his cleverness and took him with him and then advanced him up in his service. The boy then became Mitsunari Ishida, a general, and was defeated and killed in 1600 at the Battle of Sekigahara.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because he made some good tea. Now I like the poem of it being promoted warmly. That's a very smart poem. That's a very smart senryu, actually. Hey, I wanna research this guy's life now.
It's like, look, new topic. And oddly enough, I just realized, too, he was thirsty and he came and asked for tea and just kept drinking and kept drinking and kept drinking.
Just like the wine.
Just like
kept drinking, kept drinking, kept drinking.
Except in this instance, you get a promotion and not other things.
He died in the Battle of Sekigahara. I feel that lately, when we started our show, everything was linking to Midera, and now everything keeps coming back to Sekigahara. But that is such a big topic. We still have not talked upon battles at all. I'm kind of just daunted by it.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. We've touched a few things in different places, but we just have to come up with a strategy.
Battle just like strategy. Battle. Yeah.
So that's my sinew for today. Going back to
I think that's one of my favorite senryus we've had so far, because of this being, it's very cleverly written. Like the tea promoted gradually. Yes, it got gradually hotter, but he also got promoted gradually throughout his life for being such a good boy. That sounds weird. For being such a good
for doing a good service. Maker. There we go.
For doing a good service. Thank you. Oh, you saved me. For doing a good service.
I think the story was still throwing us.
God, that story threw us off the rails today.
It's nice to be off the rails for once.
Favorite. Oh yeah, definitely. But that was one of my favorites, Tenyu, for sure. Thank you.
Very welcome. I was hoping you would enjoy it, and so now I'm extraordinarily happy.
So thank you everyone for tuning in this week. That was not what I expected, and I picked the story, so that was nice. That was very good. My You Know What to Do, our Instagram is nexus_travels, historyofjapan.co.uk for the show notes for this episode, as well as the 1400 articles we've got on Japanese history so far. If you like Minecraft, go check out my YouTube channel. It's called, my YouTube channel name is Mycenria, Mycenria. I'm working on a new series right now for it. But that's it for me. How about you, Heather? Anything to say? Anything to promote?
This week, not yet, but hopefully soon.
Little by little.
Done.
Gradually. So yeah, that is everything from me, everyone. So, またね。
皆さん気をつけて、またね。